Choo. Recorded live.
Hi, welcome to Campfire Chats with Margot. This is Thursday, July 12th, 2018, and I'm Margot, your host. And tonight we're going to be discussing abrupt climate change, extreme weather, near-term human extinction, and other topics that are related. And I'm really excited to have this opportunity to present a platform where we can come together and actually hear each other's voices and have a discussion, because these topics of abrupt climate change, extreme weather, near-term human extinction, I mean, once you go down this rabbit hole, you kind of, it's like you become a social leper, and no one around you wants to hear about it after a while, and then it gets really hard to talk to people. So the reason I'm opening up this platform is so people can come together and talk about the issues going on in the world, you know, how things are progressing faster than we ever expected, and, you know, their emotions around it, and how to prepare for what we think is coming. And if this show goes well tonight, then I will continue the series, and like maybe every couple of weeks or something like that. We'll just have to see how it goes. So just a couple of comments ahead of time. If you'd like to call in and talk with us, the number is 724-444-7444, and the call ID is 144-865-POUND. And if you want to be able to get into the chat room, the direct show link is talkshoe.com/TC/144865, and then you can just join the call and come in as a guest. And just a couple of things. Trolls will not be tolerated. I have a no-tolerance policy with trolls. Also on my YouTube channel, I mean, I do moderate that, and I approve whatever messages are published, and a lot of them don't get published because, you know, I just don't want a certain vibe going. I want it a certain way, and it's my channel, and that's how I'm going to do it, and the same with this show tonight. I'd like for people to keep political comments to a minimum. We're all in this together, so let's respect and support each other. So I just want to say, we've got some really interesting, cool people on the line. We have, first of all, Sandy Shellis from Environmental Coffee House. Say hi, Sandy.
Hi. I'm trying to log back in online.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And we have, I unmuted someone, and it's kind of noisy. I'm going to mute them back. And we have someone from New Zealand in the chat room, and as guest number three, and that's Robin Westenra, and he has a really amazing blog, Seymour Rocks. Robin, if you'll type in the chat room the link to your blog, then, you know, everybody can see that and go to that. He does a lot of great research and is on Facebook. And a lot of these people I met on Facebook, a lot of them I've met through my YouTube channel. And we're just moving forward. We also have on the phone Random Variable, who is one of my YouTube subscribers. And he's in the chat room, too. Thank you. Would you like to say hi, Random Variable?
Hello.
Hello. And we've got Southeast Arizona on the phone call, and she's been following me on my YouTube channel. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Seymour Rocks. There's your link to your blog. You can find that in the chat room there. And tell us, I forgot your name. I'm sorry. I'm kind of nervous, and I'm having a brain fart here. Southeast Arizona, your name?
Actually, all of you will know me as a subscriber as Seahorse Dancers.
As what?
That's Seahorse Dancers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining.
That's one of the very few times I ever go online. That's what my online post is. And I am most of you. And I keep a very, very low profile.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm so grateful for all of you out there.
Oh, thank you.
A profile.
I used to keep a low profile, but, you know, once you start doing what I'm doing, you're kind of thrown out there. And
yeah,
we've
exactly.
got
Torstein.
Thank you. We've got Torstein here in the chat room. I have not met you, Torstein. I am so happy to have you here. I've heard about you, and I know that Hambone likes to read your comments a lot, so it feels like I know you too. So I'm honored to have you here too. And I've got Central North California. I'm going to unmute you real quick. Would you like to say hi and tell us who you are? Central Northern California. Would you like to say hi? I mean, Central North Carolina. I'm having a brain fart.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, so I'm sorry I was confused when you said California, but my name is Antonio Clinton Reed.
Oh, okay.
I'm also a viewer of yours,
Hambone's,
and Sandy Salas, the Environmental Coffee House. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. I'm just so thrilled. Okay, and I'm going to unmute. I don't know how to say your name. It's UNEKLYME. So I'm unmuting you. Would you like to say hi to everyone?
It's Uniquely Me.
Oh, of course. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome. Would I know you as a subscriber on my YouTube channel if you gave me your name over there?
Yeah, it's usually David McCurry.
Oh, David, I'm so happy that you're here. I love your comments.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
So,
I got a great YouTube channel. You need more subs.
Well, it's really grown, and, you know, I don't monetize. In fact, I try. You have to reach 1,000 subscribers to even apply for monetization, and I did reach 1,000 sometime in May, and I applied, and they said I didn't qualify. I don't know why. They don't give you a detailed report. They just give you something. So I don't make any money on any of this. You know, I'm just doing it because I just feel like someone needs to do this and someone needs to give people a platform and be able to have a support system, because we just don't have a support system.
They don't like anybody telling the truth.
No. Oh, no, they don't. They don't. So, So who wants to start here? I've got a couple of topics. The first one, and I've got everyone unmuted, and if you'd like to mute yourself, like if you're going to be making some noise, you can mute yourself by hitting *6 on your phone, and then you can unmute yourself by hitting *6, all right? So since there's so few callers, I'm just going to leave everyone unmuted unless we have a problem. Okay, but people can mute themselves too. All right. Awesome. So I just had the way to start out, since it's our first show here, I'd like to find out when and how everyone first became aware that something was wrong with the world in a big way. And also, when did they discover abrupt climate change, and how has it changed your life? That's kind of how I thought we'd start out, if that's okay with everyone else. So who would like to start? Sandy, would you like to start?
I knew you were going to ask me.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I knew. I knew something was wrong with the world a very long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that was maybe not so much the climate world, but the actual world.
Mm-hmm.
As I went through my life, I went in and out of different activism things, events, anti-war, you know, pro-choice, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always liked that. And at my job, I was over the research function at a university. So I worked with scientists, and I started to understand a lot about toxins in the water because I was working with Great Lakes environmental scientists. And from there, I knew about climate change and all. But when I really woke up again, you know, I woke up several times in my life, like I've reinvented myself. It was when I listened to Hambone. I mean, it was, I found Hambone by accident, and that was it. Everything just changed in my entire life. Even though I had Environmental Coffee House going, we were activism site, pipelines, all that. But once I found Hambone, I became unclueless, much more than ever I had been.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I found everybody. All of you, and the voices, and I'm a voice, and I'm going to continue being a voice, as you are, and others.
Mm-hmm.
Borstein, you know, I've met people that I even haven't met in person, but I love them. And I have this amazing team. Antonio's part of ECH. I have a team, and just dedicated, wonderful people, and that's where I'm at. And, you know, if we're going to go out, it's nice to go out with people that are amazing,
right.
And I wanted to be here to hear other voices.
Yeah. A Random Variable had a question. He's saying, when was that, Sandy, that you found Hambone and started really, like, getting your eyes
open? Let's see, about a year and a half ago, because before that, yeah, I did stuff on climate change. I had my page, but we were so into anti-fracking and pesticides and all the other things. And I didn't even... But I didn't know what near-term human extinction was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I interviewed Guy McPherson, and I interviewed Paul. And they, it just took off. And I am, according to my husband, Mrs. Doom and Gloom, but I'm not. I'm just very aware, hyper-aware.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just like all of you.
Right, absolutely. And it's just truth. We're discovering the truth, and you know, I ask to be shown the truth in all situations, whatever it is, because, you know, if you know the truth, then you can deal with it a lot better than if you're being lied to or manipulated, or, you know, it's all about knowing the truth. And so I think that's what we all have in common, and it's just great. It's just great. Torstein says that he learned, in the chat room, says that he learned about abrupt climate change. He found out how serious it was when he read the fifth IPCC climate panel report, which is more about denial than climate science. A lot of denial is out there. A lot of denial. It's and the government tends to do that. And, you know, we can say that without being political, because that's, you know, that's just a blanket statement, you know. So, all right, Random Variable, let's hear from you. When did you first realize that there was something awful wrong that, and when did you learn about climate change, and how has it changed your life?
I've kind of got a strange story, which probably is not a surprise. But I kind of found Jesus about 4 years ago and was really into that. You know, kind of, this is all of these end of times. I don't know if you know about the full blood moon.
I do.
September 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And there was all these people who were setting dates, and these dates came and went. And it was like, okay, whatever is happening, it doesn't seem to be happening. And so I guess it'd be about the spring, I kind of said, all right, well, what else is being discussed? And all of a sudden I learned in I went from being aware that the climate, was under stress to being the climate is there's no insects. There's no insects on the windshield. There's no insects flying around the light posts at night. Normally at night, the street lights, there's insects.
I accidentally muted you. I'm trying. There's some background noise. I'm clicking on people.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
And personally, what Guy says is 100% accurate, unless there's something just, phenomenal changes. We are burning, coal as fast as we can dig it up. We're fracking the country. I mean, that is like pointing a gun at your foot and pulling the trigger. Fracking just makes no environmental or even economic sense.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it makes economic sense for a very small group. And if this is the way that decisions are made, and that what I think is a lot of people, on yours and Sandy's and Kevin's channel and such, they're asking themselves, what do we do? How do we turn this around?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what I've kind of been doing since I've, to answer the question of how this has changed my life. I'm in this place where my reality has basically gone 180 from, this is going to last for a while till this isn't going, this may not last through the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the Arctic sea ice extent,
mm-hmm.
and, it falls by 90,000 square kilometers, yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and that graph there is basically the end of the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And like I wrote on a post on Hambone's site, I walked around Boston the other day,
mm-hmm.
and it's like walking around the deck of the Titanic after the things hit the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
And the music's still playing, people are still people are still wandering around, but
I know.
But but the other thing is if you walk down, downtown, the decorative plants are wilted from the sun. And it's like people walking by these plants that have been burnt by UV rays. And it's like, you want to shout at people. And then, it's such a surreal, you wake up in the morning and you go, that was just, a bad movie or something. This really isn't this far gone, is it? And, and you look for confirmation, and that's one of the things you see in people who do the doomosphere. They're like, well, you're just doomed, you're just being, really pessimistic. It's like, no, this is what the chart shows. This is not pessimism. This is realism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's surreal in the fact that,
It is surreal, and it is hard to believe. I feel like I'm living in a sci-fi movie.
Yeah,
every day I wake up and I have no idea what I'm going to be doing or how I'm going to be feeling because I'm impacting with the earth. I'm impacting with the great one, which is what I call the soul of the earth. And some days I can barely function.
It's awful. It's like you want to do something. It's like, I know Sandy has some bad days.
I don't see what anybody can do except just let go and, go to a spiritual perspective or a philosophical perspective. And, you said you found Jesus. Are you still Christian? You still have that belief?
I'm very much still Christian, very much.
I am too.
I mean, this all, I actually watched your video earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Margo, about the revelation, the mm-hmm. Athenian Revelation video mm-hmm. you did, I think it was 6 months ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
And all this stuff is discussed, and it's like, I mean, it's, you know, it's like I do these prayers, and I do these very intense physical prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer I'm getting back is that it's almost like, don't fight it. You know, this is, you know, this is, and I do fight it, and I feel like I'm going against God in my trying to wake people up sometimes
mm-hmm.
To change what they're doing. But I don't know, you know, it's like, you know, it's that fork in the road
mm-hmm.
that it's like, do you accept it or do you not? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not sure most people,
well,
I think most people know
what you know,
saying.
What I do is I ask for discernment to on how to interact with in a certain situation for everybody's highest good. And, you know, so that, and I ask, you know, for that Holy Spirit to work through me, you know, to bring people to whatever realization they're supposed to come to, you know. And I just leave it at that. And I just pray for people distantly, and I don't try to, and the same thing with presenting abrupt climate change to people. I don't, outside of this, I don't talk about it. I've got a couple of friends that I do talk about it with, but, you know, this is it. You know, all of my stuff is online. They're all online. So thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing. And I believe that we are great spiritual beings and that we don't have anything to fear by leaving this realm. I know a lot of people don't believe that, and I know there are a lot of atheists and people who are on the fence in the climate change community, and, you know, that's fine. But we all are here because we love Mother Earth, and we love nature, and we're grieving for everything that's happening, and that is a spiritual connection with life, because life came from somewhere. Life wasn't an accident, you know. To think that we just, you know, just popped in here and all of a sudden we're here and everything works so perfectly, you know, I don't think anything here is an accident. So
no, I don't think, and it's scriptural too. If you look at the book of Job, Job is like, why him and his three friends are talking,
mm-hmm.
and when God shows up, what does God discuss? What does God talk about? He talks about the animals. He's like, don't I care for the animals? Don't I feed the ravens?
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't I bring the hind to birth in her time?
Mm-hmm.
Don't I do
mm-hmm.
all these things for nature? And so it's very frustrating when people say, well, Christianity just cares about the afterlife and we basically have the world as a buffet table. And I'm like, no, that is so not, that is not,
no.
That's not scriptural. That's not the way we are stewards, but, you know, it's in moderation. I mean, the whale hunting in the 18th century,
yeah.
You know, I think it kicked off a lot of this, because I think they actually were part of the carbon cycle sink in the oceans and when they got killed.
Yeah.
I see Guest 17 is talking about, you know, the fish and the birds. I mean, we can't destroy, you know, like Guy McPherson says, and he's, as far as I know, he's completely atheist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're on the same page with people who care about nature,
mm-hmm.
and I wish that was understood, and that seems to be a real...
Right, and we're all here to support each other, whatever their belief is. But, you know, I'm hoping that people might come along to spiritually, you know, be open a little more spiritually. And it's because they haven't had the spiritual experiences, you know. I mean, I've had spiritual and paranormal and strange experiences all my life, including taking pictures of UFOs that show up in my pictures and I didn't see them, and, You know, I lived with a ghost in a house for a year and a half, and, you know, I channel angels, and, you know, I can see into other realms. I can see interdimensionally, but it doesn't mean, and, you know, I've had UFO experiences and ET experiences. I became a hypnotist because of all of that. But, you know, that just adds to my background and my experience. You know, so I have a broader perspective of things than people who haven't had experiences like that. And so I don't put them down. I'm just saying, you know, hey, let's look beyond this 3D belief reality cap, you know. So anyway, well, thanks for being here. I really appreciate you. Do you have anything else to say?
Can I ask Sandy how Sandy feels about, because she doesn't really talk about it. Does she want to?
What, religion?
Yeah.
Religion?
Or your spiritual beliefs. Yeah.
My spiritual beliefs. Okay. As I listened, I was thinking, how do you listen to Hambone's channel sometimes, Random Variable, because he is a bit, you know, brusque and harsh on religion, but then here I am, and I'm an atheist. However, I'm also an empath. I feel people. And I feel a bit of a spiritual connection to the earth, but I don't subscribe to organized religion or God. In fact, I just don't. But I don't know if that's, you know, that's a good thing, bad thing. Just for me, I can't seem to, and I've tried, you know, with religions, but I can't seem to follow a deity or a thought that there is that. You know, a God, I feel it's all biology. It's all, and when Margo, when you said nothing's by accident, of course it's not. It was all done by, well, I don't know, maybe you could say the accident of environment, you know, biology. I don't know. So I listen and learn from others.
Well, you know, that's why I'm saying everybody has their own experience, and because of their experiences, they have their beliefs. So, but we're just all here in this big, big soup here together. And, you know, frankly, I communicate directly with the powers, with God and with Jesus and with the angels and the ETs and stuff. And so I don't go, you know, I say I'm a Christian because I did connect with Jesus when I asked, finally, a few years ago. And but I don't think, there's a lot of the Bible that I don't think is correct at all, and I don't go along with a lot of the Bible. So you really have to use your own discernment, and, you know, I don't go along with organized religions. I don't go to a church. And I think, you know, a lot of the religions have been infiltrated by the dark side and been taken over. And I know a lot of people do leave religion and do leave the church because they've had a bad experience in that environment. And I can understand that, but it doesn't discount, you know, it's unfortunate that they had that experience, but it wasn't because there was something wrong with the foundation. It was the people in it that were not listening and following the teachings, and, you know, they were being guided by Satan or the dark side, or they were being guided by evil. And so by that, then, you know, they got a bad taste in their mouth, and they say, well, I'm not going to have anything to do with religion now. And so I think that's unfortunate. But anyway, that's just where I'm at. So let's move on.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being here and saying all of that. Okay, guest 13. Oh, we read that one. This is guest 3, Robin, about when you were aware that something was bad wrong. And you say that it was for, he says, for me, it was COP 15 at Copenhagen when police attacked activists, and I realized that nothing was going to happen, also watching global dimming. And he also comments and says from the BBC, it first alerted me to the possibility of the clathrate gun. Hearing Guy McPherson and others has just confirmed with the science of what I felt. And then Torstein, I'll just read the thing here. Torstein says COP 15, Copenhagen for me too. They put water cannoned climate activists in climate jail, i.e. outdoor cages in freezing temperatures. I didn't know that.
That's hideous. Oh, my God.
It's awful.
Yeah. See, and I was unaware of it, clueless.
Mm-hmm. No.
Wow.
Guest 17 says, I thought something was wrong about 2 years ago when millions of fish and birds were being found dead on the beaches and biologists said their stomachs were empty. Well, why were their stomachs empty? Because there wasn't any food. Or that could have been, it could have been a different reason, but they just said that. Yeah, 17 says, also the average temperature in Chicago during winter was about 40 degrees for the last 10 years, not normal. So, that's other people's answers. So I'm just going to go down the list now. Southeast Arizona. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I forgot your name.
Seahorse Dancers.
Seymour what?
Seahorse Dancers.
Oh, Seahorse Dancers. Okay.
I used to work with educating people about seahorses and their threatened extinction.
Oh,
back
awesome.
Before they started leaving the planet in such huge numbers.
Oh.
So I've actually been involved with all this since, I've been a deep Buddhist since Thich Nhat Hanh in the 60s and, you know, anti-war like so many of the rest of you.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddhism has been my particular path, although it's evolved through many things.
Mm-hmm.
And during the AIDS epidemic, I worked with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and Stephen and Andrea Levine founding hospice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked with hospice much of my life. But what I'm doing now is hard for me to talk about. And if I don't do it here, there's really nowhere else to say it.
Well,
I've
we're
been
here
doing,
for you.
Yeah.
So.
I've been doing planetary hospice work mm-hmm. for the last 3 years as all I do because I'm under hospice care also.
Oh, okay.
And my health is actually a planetary thing. I have Marfan syndrome. So my connective tissue
mm-hmm.
is coming apart everywhere. So it
oh.
changes symptom to symptom to symptom. Lungs,
oh.
heart. I'm with
my heart's going to you.
Everything. Bowels. You know, we're all connective tissue. But it's
yeah.
actually been a beautiful spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it means so much to me to be with other empaths because
uh-huh.
to explain to people what it feels like to feel the suffering of the planet can only be done with other empaths.
Right.
And what I have learned is that the prayer, the religious practice, sustains me. But I've also learned, especially the last 2 years, that the fact that some of you are out there speaking truth, which is something I can no longer do publicly. I'm pretty much in bed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It means a lot. I feel it through, and that you pray, and that what I can't abide these days is hopium. I really have a hard time with people who are looking at the things we're all looking at in the charts, but then have to skew them to sell a product or to make themselves comfortable or whatever. So. Any form of truth speaking, all I have to do is find a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like what you said, Margo, just asking for discernment and truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like it's like this wonderful rainfall that we're having right now in Arizona on the dry, parched soil. And it can be truths that aren't my truth, you know, whether it's Christianity or whatever it is. But the fact that people are willing to feel what's going on and to acknowledge it,
mm-hmm.
and to try to love it as much as we can,
mm-hmm.
I'm just so grateful. And I mean, some people, those of you who are out in the public eye, I've watched through the last 5 or 6 years, you know, the hits you all take and how exhausting and tiring it can be for your bodies and your souls. And I just give you all such gratitude for what you're doing. And it sure goes to Guy McPherson too, because it's been a lot of years that I've watched that go through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really grateful that some of us are having the courage to speak and see truth right now when it isn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely have great respect for those of you who are scientists or atheists and can still do this, because my Buddhism gives me an attitude of a certain kind of Pure Land heaven where everything can be, I don't want to say saved, but in a way it is saved. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's very different than Christian heaven. But it is a place where I send the seahorses and the bonobos and the gorillas and, you know, all the beings that I've worked with personally all my life,
mm-hmm.
and that are dying. You know, you can feel their bodies coming apart in the ocean right now.
Right.
And so it gives me a place to be where all is well.
Mm-hmm.
So I spend a lot of my time in Jodo Shinshu, Pure Land Buddhism, after many, many years in other forms. And I spend a lot of time in prayer, just praying that people have the courage and strength. The same way I sit at hospice beds. And I watch for vital signs in people on the hospice beds so that I'll be sure I'll be able to be free and be there
mm-hmm.
as a volunteer hospice worker when they're ready to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch our, as I said, Copernicus, CAM. I watch the data for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just want to try to be as awake as I can be and help my small circle of friends be awake as we approach these very large tipping points.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm just so full of gratitude because, as I say, I have a very small handful of people that over 6 years I've been able to transform from the way they knew my work in the past into
mm-hmm.
looking at the planetary situation somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm grateful for all of you that can still be out there speaking up and sharing, because it means a lot to those of us you never hear from, because there's just very little I do
mm-hmm.
anymore. Yeah,
yeah,
except pray. And listen, I listen to a lot of you too. I'm pretty fairly vision impaired nowadays, so
mm-hmm.
I can't watch as much as I used to, but I can listen.
Right, right. Well.
So thank you all so much.
Oh, well, we love you and so glad that you're here with us. And for as long as that you're here.
Yes.
I was a hospice volunteer for 2 years when I lived in Pennsylvania. And I sat with dying people. I would pray, and I would go into a meditative state and see their angel there and help them.
It's wonderful,
and,
isn't
and
it?
And they would be afraid, and I'd say, don't be afraid. Here's your angel. And
yeah.
And just... sometimes within 5 or 10 minutes after I leave the room, they would be gone.
Yes.
They would be gone. And
yeah.
I used to, many years ago, I worked for a while in a nursing home as an activities assistant, and I started dreaming about the residents before they would die. They would come to me in my dream state about a week before they would pass, and they would be asking me directions on where to go. Like, they wanted to go to the cafeteria, or they were trying to find their room or something. And so I would direct them, and the first person that I had the dream with, and then within a week they died, I went, oh, wow, what's that about? And then this happened. Over and over and over again, and I noticed a pattern. So when I would dream about one of them, I would make sure and immediately, like the next day, go and be with them, and even if they were unconscious or couldn't talk or anything, I would just go and sit with them and be with them and talk, and they'd be gone. I mean, as soon as I was done, they'd be gone.
And I think that's how the planet is right now and all mm-hmm. the living beings on it. Mm-hmm. It wants us to try to help hold that compassionate space for them mm-hmm. so they can find the light, whatever that means for each one of us.
Right. Absolutely.
It's that, yes.
Absolutely. And how far, can I ask how far along you are in your...
Well, actually, it's very funny because I've just been decertified from hospice.
Decertified from hospice? Because
yeah,
you're doing
words,
so
I
well. You've got more than 6 months
Medicare
left,
money
huh?
Is running out.
When you were on the finish line, huh?
That's how it felt. So I'm having a little hard time now because my heart was really, well, I was one breath away from dying for many, many days.
Mm-hmm.
And being back, but in a very broken body with all the other things that life brings us, you know, like leaking roofs and all of that, it's a tricky place. But I do realize because 3 very close friends have died in the last month, and I have been able to help all of them after death to the light a little bit. And so I see, it's surrender now. It's thy will be done. I'll be here to do the work as long as I can. And I'd rather be in heaven in pure land to do it from there. I think I'd have more energy and feel better, but I'm where I am.
Yeah. I'd rather be on the ship. Yeah, ship or heaven or 5D.
Whatever, yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
But if we can just all keep each other supported in prayer and love and gratitude.
Right. Well, I so appreciate you, and we just love you, and... keep us posted on what's going on. And you should go to my website and fill out the contact Margo form, and let's be in touch, okay?
Okay. Okay, dear. Yeah.
We can email and be in touch, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for being here. Okay, I'm going to unmute Central North Carolina now. Hi.
Okay.
This is Antonio, right?
Yes.
Oh, would you like to share how you figured out that something bad was wrong and how you came to abrupt climate change and how it's changed your life?
Yeah, I don't mind at all.
Okay,
I think those are the same question and also two separate questions.
Okay.
The first thing I would like to say is that I'm 24. So, thank you. I haven't had a lot of time to figure it out, but I think I realized that something was wrong, not first with the world, but with the United States, and then later the world, when I was in high school. I started off as a Republican, conservative Christian, and that mantra.
Mm-hmm.
But I happened to grow up with a really good but small group of highly intellectual people who were very concerned about intellectual things, history, politics, science, technology. And I kind of have my own preference of history and politics. And so I was a freshman in high school the year Barack Obama was elected to the presidency. I lived my entire life, really, or my memorable life, is really at the point of 9/11 and thereafter. So I've only known war. So with that being said, you have to assume that something is wrong if you live your entire life in a state of war, even though the war is afar. So I think since high school, I would say I knew something was wrong. But more specifically about abrupt climate change, which I think is really, really related to a lot of things that I found out about our country and the world.
Mm-hmm.
I like to tell people that I think the values that are changing the climate are the same values that are responsible for money in politics, are responsible for the Iraq War, are
mm-hmm.
responsible for the global inequality that we see mm-hmm. and the hyper-inequality that we see here in the United States.
Right.
So I do think those things are all related
mm-hmm.
or are a byproduct of the same system. I think that's a better way to say it.
But in college, or as I got older, by the time I was a sophomore in high school, I kind of moved toward libertarian. By the time I was a senior, I was this, you know, Paul Krugman type liberal. But then it was about 2016, not just the election of Donald Trump. Well, actually, this was February 2016 that I really knew something was wrong about climate. I just graduated school from Appalachian State University. It's a mountain school here in North Carolina in Boone, if you guys are familiar with that. But the average high temperature for Boone, North Carolina, for the month of January is 41 degrees, and it's like 44 for February.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2016, we were having rolling wheat in the 60s and 70s, and we had several days peak 80 degrees.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That immediately to me, and I was on the bus with Al Gore, that, yes, climate change is happening. Obviously, this what the scientists are saying is not a hoax from China or anything like that. I mean, this is real. And having studied the Industrial Revolution, it makes sense to me that, you know, if mankind begins to burn coal, oil, and natural gas, it's going to change the chemical composition of our atmosphere. So I was on board with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always used to the narrative, oh, this is going to hit us in our grandchildren's time, which I always, you know, now that you know that I'm 24, I always thought it was weird when people said our grandchildren, because I don't know how old you are, but I would assume that if you think about the generations of our grandchildren, my grandchildren will be a different generation than your grandchildren. So I never really understood that. That's when I realized in 2016 that things were happening a lot faster than what I was getting from the inconvenient truth that Al Gore was telling us, which wasn't inconvenient, but this was really, really inconvenient. And I started reaching out to my college professors. I started looking online, because that's, of course, the first thing that a college-age person would do if they want to look up or figure out something in the world. And that's when I started getting adjusted to, or started being introduced really into the data side of things. And like my knowledge on climate change and abrupt climate change had just grown exponentially from 2016 up into the present. And it was, I remember I called my friend. I sat down and I thought about it for a month or two, and I called one of my friends who I think is smarter than me, and I called him. I say, holy crap, this is all really going to come down in our lifetime. And when I said this in 2016, I was saying, certainly by the time that I'm a grandparent, or, you know, in my 60s or 80s, we're going to be facing the end of civilization as we know it. But then all the data, as I kept on looking, was a little bit more, urgent than even what I had suspected. And then I found Guy McPherson's videos, and I was like, oh, you know, this is getting increasingly serious. I ended up finding Hambone's videos through Guy McPherson, because you know how the rabbit hole works.
Mm-hmm.
And then Guy McPherson, or Hambone, ended up interviewing me. This is about a year ago now, almost a year and a half ago now, because I've graduated college now for a year. So it's been about a year and a half since I first got introduced to Hambone, and we had our talk. It did change my life after that, because I realized, and I'm going to try to avoid telling people what I think is coming around the corner, but I mean, we all have a good sense and idea of what's waiting for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that mindset, you know, I used to be this person. I was politically engaged. I used to work for the school system. I used to work for the state of North Carolina. I interned for our congressman. And I wanted to be, you know, this political hotshot. And then I realized very quickly that, you know, the future really beyond the next, you know, half decade to decade looks incredibly bleak.
Mm-hmm.
And bleaker there still.
Because I think we as humans forget that this is not just a decadal problem or a centennial problem, but this is the next 500,000 years of planetary history that we're affecting today. And it's starting right now. So I realize, you know, I'm not going to be able to, you know, grow up and have a house in the suburbs and a white picket fence. That's not my future. So I've started to become somewhat of a climate activist myself. I work in association with Stuart Scott's program, if you've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Faith, Planet, Science Initiative. And then I worked alongside and I interviewed some co-authors to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change Assessments. I've met Sandy Salas, who's kind of co-opted me into the Environmental Coffee House, which I'm very happy to be a part of that community and be a part of those ongoing discussions. And I'm also active in my community just trying to inform people. I have no problem telling people what is, I think, at this point now imminent. And it reminds me a lot of my focus in college was this idea called phenomenology, which is really an expert study of how civilizations form and how they end. And my focus area was World War I and World War II. Not the wars themselves, but the lead-up.
Mm.
Asking the question, how is it, and you got to remember, you know, in 1880, Europe is the pinnacle of scientific advancement, rationalism, enlightenment, civilization, and culture. And yet, that culture ends abruptly. We consider it it's not an extinction level event, but it's an end of a culture or an era. And it concludes in this unspeakable horror that we all now know as World War I. And what I like to do is ask the question, how is it that those people who are very much like us, they are absolutely clueless up into the moment of collapse? And we look at it as historians and hindsights, and, you know, we say, oh, you know, I can see the lead up. But these very real people and their very real lives, much as we are today, we're just walking to this inevitability. And then we see that between this period, Western civilization rises again in this triumphant moment. In the United States, we call it the Roaring Twenties, but essentially this was happening across Europe as well. And a lot of progress was being made, rebuilding after the First World War, and it was set in everybody's mind, never again. And that moment ends with Neville Chamberlain, who was the Prime Minister of Britain, coming back from Germany after speaking to Adolf Hitler. Now these words live in infamy forever, but he said, truly we've achieved now peace for our time. At the end of the era, of course, now that we know, peace in our time meant the death of nearly 80 million people around the world and the detonation for the first time in human history on this planet, nuclear explosions over two Japanese cities. And I think we're in a moment very, very similar to that. It's not a repeat, but it's something like a repeat. And every time that history does, quote unquote, repeat itself, it does so more ferociously. And so it's interesting because if you study history from the point of view that I do, no one individual is capable of turning the tide of history, but a collective force. And so I'm dedicating what I think will only be a short bit of time to trying to contribute to that collective force, to that conscious. And so it's been difficult because I got to pay back my student loans. I have car payments and rent and, you know, all these other financial distractions, which are actually there on purpose. They're part of those values in that system.
Mm-hmm.
So
Wow. Well, you sound like an old soul to me. I mean, you just came in with such, you want to know and you understand and you do see the big picture, Antonio. And I appreciate you being here. Random Variable wanted to know if you were still Christian.
So the way that I can tackle that question is I will say that I am very spiritual. Mm-hmm. I'm engaged in a perspective that's called Christian phenomenology.
Oh, okay.
So
that sounds interesting.
I certainly do use the Bible and Christianity, and I would also include Judaism in this. As a way to understand what's happening in the world,
mm-hmm.
I think that is one way to say it. I move away from a traditional idea of God. I like to reference the book of Exodus when I talk about God. When God reveals himself to Moses, he reveals himself in the English as I am.
Mm-hmm.
In the English, that's a form of the word to be. And so when God therefore said that I am, God is saying that the whole of the universe is now present here with you. And I think that's true for us today. I think that the whole of the universe is present with us and we are present with it.
Well, if we're open to it, you know, we have to be open to it. Yeah.
I think that is absolutely right. I think I like to say, not necessarily that I found God, but God found me in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you do have to be open to that call.
You do. And once you're open to it, it's there. So Random Variable wants to know how you feel about the end times. If you'd like. Well, I would rephrase that to say, do you feel like or think that we're in the end times?
Okay. Like I say, I think that we are in a moment that is very similar to lead up to World War II. And again, I would say that we're in a moment, as history repeats itself, quote unquote, it's always worse. It's always much more ferocious. Mm-hmm. I do think the next decade, and I'll center this because I'm fairly certain, or at least I feel that way. The next decade, we're going to start hitting a lot of those tipping points, and it's never like a snap of the fingers or flipping on a light switch, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we kind of have that idea in our culture. But what I mean is that the 2020s. Will show us that the kings are, in fact, in the holes, and there's really no way to, and it will be clear for everyone. It's already clear. I was actually talking to Sandy Shellis. In 2007, the United States government, its Pentagon, and its think tanks, mainly the Center for International Strategic Studies, published a document called The Age of Consequences. And so the age of consequences would be an indication of the end times is the age of consequences. It's due. And so the U.S. government, from their perspective, the military perspective, we've been in the end times since at least 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that we're going to see the collapse of the international order within 20 years. And that was in 2007, they were saying that. They haven't actually updated the documents since then, interestingly enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that we are, this civilization is in its last days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is. And I think all civilization is in its last days. I want to turn you on to Emmanuel Velikovsky. Have you heard of him? He's not alive anymore, but I've started a series on my YouTube channel where I'm reading the last book that was published by him. It's called Mankind in Amnesia. He was a Jewish psychiatrist from Russia, and he knew Sigmund Freud, and he knew Carl Jung, and his whole premise was he became a historian, and he was studying ancient texts and ancient all the different cultures around the world to find evidence of the things that happened in the Bible, like the flood, parting of the Red Sea, Moses leading people through the desert, and the manna falling from heaven, and all that. And he ended up coming up with answers to all of these things from all of his historical research that he did. And he says, and he wrote several large volumes of books. One was called Worlds in Collision, where he found evidence of how our planets had collided with each other at certain times, and how, you know, they changed orbits and things like that. And when these cataclysms happen, and it could be from a planet coming in, like Planet X, or, you know, we don't know what's out there and what's coming in, but something coming and pulling us off course or affecting the poles or something like that. And it's so abrupt and it's so violent that mankind goes extinct. And then just a few people are left, and then they have to rebuild. But his premise is, coming from a psychiatric point of view, is that when the civilization of that time goes extinct and then they come back, they have stored in the collective consciousness memories of that extinction event. And so when they're you know, populating and coming down through the years and everything, we keep that in our collective unconscious, basically. And then when we come back into another extinction level type event, all of those memories are being triggered, like post-traumatic stress syndrome, where you've got buried memories, but you're triggered by something that happens. You have buried memories from events that happened that were traumatic, until you figure out what that is, you keep reenacting the thing that made the trauma. And so I feel he died in like 1979. He came to the United States and ended up living here and dying here. But he said that this book that I'm reading is pretty short. You might want to get it online, an ebook called Mankind in Amnesia. And this was his greatest work, and he worked on it for like 50 years, and it's his gift to mankind. And he felt like we were going to blow ourselves up with the nuclear bombs, but you know, it's all about how things are unraveling and why people are acting the way they are. And I think that this is very prescient for the times that we're living in, and it could explain, you know, the chaos and the confusion and the panic and the anxiety that people are having around this uncertainty of not knowing, because we're being triggered by this unconscious memory of having gone extinct. So I encourage you to, I've got four parts done on my YouTube channel. I've read the introduction in chapter one, and I only do it in between my other videos. But it's a short book, but I recommend that you get that and read it. I think it would help you because he was very knowledgeable.
Absolutely. I think that, and again, I do, it's very interesting because it sounds like it's very, some of the people that you named, Sigmund Freud, are actually in the line of work that I study. And but what you're saying about the unconscious or the collective unconscious reminds me a lot of a German philosopher called Hegel, talking about a mind of history. So I certainly do, I am open, like I say, to different perspectives.
And he doesn't come, I know he was spiritual, he was Jewish, but he, when you read it, he just barely mentions something. When he says, he calls it providence. Oh, because of providence, we had the good earth and everything was just perfect and just so, this planet being placed right here where it was with the correct correct everything so that life could exist. And he said that we were in a calm period, but that we don't have very many calm periods, and that we were due for one of these chaotic periods. So yeah, it looks like Robin put the link to the book in the chat room. Yep, that's it, Robin. Kind in Amnesia by Emmanuel Velikovsky. Excellent. That helped helped me a lot in my journey for opening up and not being afraid to ask the tough questions and to whatever the truth is and being open to accept it and to let go of old beliefs because if you have a filter of a certain way things are, if you're not open to the truth, you're not going to see it, even if it's right in front of you. So that's another thing we all have to work through, too. So do you have anything else you want to say, Antonio, before I go on to the next caller?
Well, the last thing that I will say is that I know that what we are talking about, first of all, is real. And likewise, then, it is also surreal.
Mm-hmm.
It's so real. But I want people to understand that in this moment that we are about to go through, a lot about how it unfolds is up to us. It doesn't, right now, it looks like it's set to unfold in the worst way possible. But history has shown us, or at least me, whether you're talking about the death camps that Stalin put up, or the Holocaust, or slavery in the South, or Pol Pot, wherever it might be, we are going to, I think if we just accept that no matter what, that there are going to be significant impacts no matter what we do, I think that we'll find that we'll be more prepared to deal with those impacts. And the last thing I'll say as I close now is that I think everyone should prepare themselves physically, prepare themselves intellectually, prepare themselves spiritually, be with the ones they love, and love the living planet.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Well, I so appreciate you being here. Does anyone have any questions of Antonio while we've got him here and in the talking mood? Because you sound so wise. I've been watching the chat as you were talking, and there's one thing that you touched on, and that I want to bring out too. That as we progressed technologically and grew as a civilization and everything, I just don't think we matured emotionally and spiritually. We're like 5-year-olds in the sandbox, and the world leaders are throwing temper tantrums, and I think things could have been a lot different, but it just seems like at every juncture where we had a choice, where we had a chance to take, make the choice to have a better way or a worse way, they always went the worse way. For example, Nikola Tesla and his work was, you know, it could have been when he was alive, he was just shot down with all of his research and inventions and everything, and instead they brought in Edison instead of Tesla. And you know, Tesla had been brought in, you know, with all of the electricity and everything, we would have had free electricity, and that would have freed us up as a society and as a civilization, as the human race. But now, you know, the government, after he died, like, the government went into his lab and took all of his work and all of his notes, and now they're using all of his work for their own what they want, you know, for the space shield or weapons in outer space, and, well, we're going to have Tesla cars, but, you know, whatever. So that's just an example of how we are immature as the human race is just not mature at all, emotionally or spiritually. And I think that that's the root of the problem right there. So, does anyone have? I'm watching the chat now. Now they're talking about Satan and Jesus. I'd like to get into that, but anyway, let's stay with you, Antonio. Does anyone else have any comments or questions for Antonio? If you do, you can press. If you're muted, you can press star 8 and raise your hand. And I'll unmute you. Okay, West Washington State has a question. Hello, West Washington State. Can I have...
Hello.
Who are you going to... What's your screen name that you're going to go by to talk to
me? I'm Adam Soul.
Hi, Adam. Well, thanks for joining us. You were able to get in on the phone, it looks like.
I was, and I'm watching you on TalkShoe as well.
Right. Well, great. I'm glad you were able to get in. So did you have a question for Antonio?
Not specifically, no. No, I just wanted to talk about, I wanted to talk about hopium and spirituality. And
okay, let me.
But
let
I mean, me, it might blend into what
okay,
he has.
Okay. Okay, let me just thank Antonio for being here and for all of your comments and, you know, sharing and everything and following. And we look forward to talking to you next time, okay?
Absolutely, and thank you for inviting me.
Okay, well, God bless you, and we'll talk to you later. And I'm gonna mute you now.
Okay.
Yeah, he sounds like an awesome dude.
Yeah, okay.
Really awesome. He's got a lot going on there.
Okay, well, Adam, what we're doing is we're just going down the list and asking people when they first became aware that something was wrong in the world in a big way, and when did they discover about abrupt climate change and how it has changed their lives?
Probably about last summer, I started listening to Guy McPherson, and
mm-hmm.
I pretty much surf. I do a lot of surfing and of YouTube, especially, and a lot of research. And I put out a video 6 years ago or so. And anyway, so I heard Guy McPherson. And I retired from work because in September of last year because of his message.
Mm-hmm.
And since then I got on Jamin Shively's webcast where and I'm sure he doesn't mind me using his name because he's pretty public. And anyway, he has a social club at the end of the world. And so I got on there, and he inspired me to start my own program there on YouTube under Adam Soul. And I have a different take on the whole thing. I think that money is a poison to mankind. And I think the reason that we are doing all these things is because we are poisoned. And my hypothesis goes like this. In nature, no animal in nature will purposely foul its own nest unless it's sick. And mankind has been fouling our own nest for a long time. And, I mean, since we became civilized. And so we're sick. There's something wrong with us. And I'm saying that what the thing that's wrong with us is we are poisoned by money.
Okay. I'd like to stop you right there because...
Sure.
First of all, money is a tool, and if we didn't, I did go to your YouTube channel, and I looked at some of your videos, and I understand where you're coming from, but, you know, a lot of people feel that money is the root of all evil, and, but, you know, I was thinking if we didn't have money, there would be something else, you know, money just represents... a way of trading and things, and it's way beyond, goes way beyond money. It's all about control and who's controlling everything. And so I don't think that just getting rid of money would fix everything. And I agree that people are generally not well. And it's for a lot of different reasons. But when you say it's a virus, then we're getting into, well, then it's bad, and, you know, where did it come from? Who, you know, then we're getting into real philosophical things. Then we're getting into, well, you know, did it come from Satan? Then you're getting into the God and Satan and, you know, that spiritual battle that's going on. And so
yeah.
I think if you just limit it to money and say money is it, I think you're really, really short-sighted on what the real problem is that, like I was saying, people are not mature, and, you know, their spiritual belief systems are not in harmony with each other. And so that's kind of where I'm coming from with that. So I really don't see any sense in us continuing talking about money because we're really here to talk about abrupt climate change. So
okay,
if you want
well,
to say anything else about abrupt climate change and how you're dealing with it, you know, without us getting into that long discussion about money, you know, I'm happy to hear that.
Sure.
Otherwise, I'd like to go on to the next caller.
Sure. Yeah, okay. Well, I'll just go on to the next caller then.
Okay.
Thank
well, thank you for tuning in. And
okay, bye.
Okay, God bless you. Goodbye. Okay, California, you're on the line. And how would you like to... present yourself today. California, would you like to share with us how you learned about abrupt climate change and how it's affecting your life and things like that?
Oh, hi. Are you speaking with me, Margo?
Uh-huh. Hi.
Just a second. I think I have you on speaker. Wait.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, yeah. That's much better. And who
hi, Margo. It's Marcia.
Marcia.
Yes,
I'm so
hi.
Happy to talk to you. I'm so glad that you tuned in, and
yes.
I feel like you're a sister to me now.
definitely.
Oh.
I usually tune into your YouTube channel when I'm going to sleep at night because your voice is so calming.
Oh, even if I'm talking about the
yes.
world, huh?
No matter what you're talking about,
like,
I can hear it, and I feel relaxed.
Oh.
But I'll tell you, when my first huge wake up was in France in 2001, in May of 2001, just before 9/11. And we were going through the Loire Valley, and there were extreme climate change results going on in France at that time. There were villages and towns throughout the Loire that were flooded up to their rooftops.
Oh, my.
And they looked like turtles. These rooftops looked like turtles floating on the water. Mm-hmm. And I was with a small group of people, five people, and they just kept talking amongst each other. And I said, you know, you guys, we don't have a newspaper here to tell us why this is the case, you know, what's going on. But no one seemed to be terribly shocked by it. I was beside myself. You know, these are people's homes. I've never seen anything this dramatic. And then there was another road that took us through a forest, and as far as you could see, the trees had fallen in a circle in the way you might view crop circles from the air,
mm-hmm.
so that they were all going in the same direction. It looked like a huge tornado had descended on this forest, mm-hmm. and taken them all down. And I was just jolted by those sights and what it said to me.
Mm-hmm.
And like so many other people, it was Guy McPherson who first made me aware of the fact that we've gone beyond the turning point. There is no recovery.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way for us to regroup. Now, I'm still an activist, environmental activist, but I wake up every morning with rocks in my stomach. You know, I feel sick in the way people do when they receive the worst possible news. Mm-hmm. You know, that someone they love very much is going to die or has died. That kind of deep grief. I wake up with it every morning, and it takes me a couple of hours to get myself straightened out again so that I'm able to cope with my to-do list. And what gets me through is love,
mm-hmm.
for my fellow human beings and for all sentient beings, the plants, the animals, the forests, the birds. Listening to birds sing elevates my spirit. It reminds me, you know, that there's still today. And, but no, I'm in grief. I grieve. And I can't imagine anyone who doesn't feel that way, knowing what we know.
Mm-hmm. I know. I feel the same way. And I don't know, you know, like on one video I said, you know, I'm not happy and, you know, don't expect me to be happy.
Right,
so
yes.
It's like once your eyes are opened so much, and
mm-hmm.
feeling so much pain because you know what's happening,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, if the other people are not awake, you can't make them be awake. And you can't feel their pain for them. But, you know, we're feeling the pain of the earth and the pain
right.
of the animals and the pain of the beautiful, beautiful creation and how, and the sadness and the grief of how,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was beautiful at one time, but now
yes,
it's not.
Right. And every day we receive the news, at least 10, you know, pieces of enormous news about assaults upon our national monuments, the climate change refugees around the world.
Mm-hmm.
that are being forced to leave with nowhere to go on foot. You know, and I see, I want to mention this too. I noticed about 10 years ago that there were so many books, novels being published that with dystopian themes, mm-hmm. with Armageddon and survival, you know, through the end times, however that particular author or filmmaker perceived the end times. And I thought, why is this so popular? Why are these themes reaching such huge audiences that they just keep making more and more and more of them? And I feel that the collective is much more conscious that this is reality. This is the reality. And they probably, you know, through attending these films and reading these books, it helps them release whatever their emotional connection is to knowing that on some level people know it, including these young authors. A lot of them are very young. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just hanging on for dear life, Margo.
I know.
You know, that's it.
I hear you.
And feeling lots of love for you.
Oh, thank you.
Lots of love for Sandy, and all the people that we're connected, you know, through this circle of information that we share.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't talk enough about the emotions, about the grief.
No, and that's kind of what I was wanting to focus on here today. So I'm glad that you're here to get us back on track here. While you're on the line, I'd like to talk about how I came to my realization of abrupt climate change. I don't know that I've actually talked about it with anyone. I did mention it in a comment where we were commenting back and forth. But a few years ago, well, I moved to the Reno area in 2005, and it's beautiful here, and we've got the Sierra Nevada mountains on the west side, we've got the desert on the east, and I traveled all the way around. I've traveled all the way around this whole area, and I camped out at Pyramid Lake, and I camped out. I had this special rock that I would go to and camp out on, and by myself. And I hiked to the top of Mount Rose by myself, which is over 10,000 feet. And it's on the way to Lake Tahoe. I mean, we're like 30 miles from Lake Tahoe. It's like living in a vacation area, you know, by being here. It's like once you move here, it's like you don't want to go vacation because you're already living in the best vacation spot. So anyway, I was the first year that I was here, I learned all the hiking trails up at Mount Rose, and I was in a very hard emotional space and didn't know anyone or anything, and I was hiking and just leaned up against a tree and was kind of crying out and praying, and I wasn't really a praying woman at that time, but I leaned up against the tree, put my back against the tree, and I felt this energy coming into the back of my head from this huge pine tree up in the forest, and then it felt like its arms just coming all the way around me and just holding me and just comforting me and taking my sorrow away and everything, and I felt better, and then I would hike like every day after work. I'd spend every day hiking up in the Mount Rose area, and I would put my hands on the trees. I would feel the energy coming through my hands. And then I found this one favorite tree way, 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 way up in the mountains, and I could actually drive to it, and it was a huge old pine tree, and I mean, the trunk was so big around. The trunk was so big around, and the branches were low. You could touch the needles and everything. And I started meditating with that tree, and it started communicating with me. And that's how my communication with the trees started. And I got a lot of messages from the trees, and I got a lot of healing from the trees. And then after that, I could just touch any tree or any plant or any living thing and get energy off of it. But then I moved into the city. I'd been living, when I first moved here, I was living in a little cabin up on Mount Rose, so it was easy to go hiking all the time. But a few years ago, I moved into town, and now I don't get out hiking, and I occasionally will go to a park or something, but I'm not feeling well to go out and do that stuff anymore. That was then, this is now. But a couple of years ago, I went to a park that I used to go to a lot, and I had some trees over there that I used to get energy off of and communicate with. I went to the park and I touched them, and I didn't feel anything. It was like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I went around the whole park, you know, touching the bushes, touching the trees, touching everything, and I was getting no energy. But I left out a part. Back when I was hiking and going up there a lot, several years ago, my big tree that was my big friend said goodbye to me. And said that the trees were going to be leaving, because the world was going to it was going to be unsafe for them to be here any longer, and she was telling me goodbye, and I was like, I can't believe this, you know, and I was crying and all this stuff, and then I noticed the trees started dying after that. And it's unbelievable, the tree die-off that has been going on.
Absolutely.
You know, yes. 8 or 9 years. And then 2 years ago was when I couldn't get any energy off of trees anymore. And so they've withdrawn their energy. And I feel like they're the cosmic messengers.
Yes.
They're rooted in the ground, and then they've got their branches that are up towards the sky and getting vibrations and getting energy from the sun and the stars and the other planets and, you know, the cosmos. And then they bring that energy down through their trunk into the earth with their roots. And then, you know, they bring the energy from Mother Earth back up through the tree, out through their branches and the leaves, and send messages back out. So I call them the cosmic messengers.
Absolutely.
And I believe they're beings of light, and
mm-hmm.
they're great beings, and they're here to, you know, help us and to guide us, and they are the lungs of the planet, and they're leaving, and, you know, we're seeing that all the time, and there have been such a devastation of the rainforest.
Yes.
You know, they're cutting down the rainforest, and, you know, we're, you know, with that, you know, we don't have a chance. And where was I going with all this?
And our California forests, the reason that these wildfires are so rapid in the spread over hundreds of acres is that all of those trees are very sick. They've been depleted. They've been aerial sprayed. Of course, they've been subjected to drought. But there are major diseases sweeping through our California forests.
Mm-hmm.
Calaveras County, which is in Gold Country.
Mm-hmm.
I have relatives who live up there, and the trees are falling. They're huge, tall pines.
They're falling here, too. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and all over Santa Cruz County where I live, the trees are dying.
Mm-hmm.
People are too busy to notice. I've lost 3 trees on my property, and I see them getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
The shrubs are getting sick. So yes, they're reflecting.
They are.
And those are our nurturers. That's another thing is I've always counted on the trees as a nurturing source.
Right.
And I don't feel that anymore. I feel that I need to help them, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. And so you felt it too. But
so
where I was going with this was when was I really knew I was picking up that there was something bad wrong, and I felt like we were in the end times about 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, and I couldn't put my finger on it, and it was like, why am I so depressed? Why am I, you know, it's like nothing's working, and the world is so screwed up, and I hate my job, and I hate my life, and I hate everything, and, you know, and then... it was a couple of years ago when I stopped getting the energy off the trees, and then I knew that we were shifting into the false reality, and everything feels plastic now, like a cartoon. You know, everything is like cartoons, and this is part of the shift in this matrix that we're in, I think, and it's part of the end. And then when I interviewed Guy McPherson the first time, which was March of 2017, that was the done deal. Once I interviewed him, that changed my life completely, and I knew that time was up. And, you know, it's just been a more journey down the rabbit hole trying to figure out just how bad screwed we are and how soon the time is and what to do, you know, for the rest of the time that we have here. And I think that's kind of what we're all trying to do is figure out what to do and how to be without kind of like losing our minds.
Yes.
So.
Well, it really does help to talk with others who are equally aware of how limited
it does. It gives
time
a support
is.
System.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Oh, where I was going with the cosmic tree thing is I use that as a meditation. In fact, I might even do a meditation of the tree that I call it the tree meditation. And this is actually this is a meditation that Mother Earth gave me, and this is how we can help her. Is, you know, you just sit quietly, and when you breathe in, you just imagine all this energy coming in from the cosmos, coming down through the top of your head, and, you know, that you're the tree, and you're just bringing all the energy down through you, and then goes down into Mother Earth, and then you see it coming back up through you. You know, your feet are like the roots, and then you feel, then goes into Mother Earth, and then this golden energy comes back up through your body all the way through and back up through your head and back up through the tree and back out up to the cosmos or up to God or Creator, however you want to refer to it. And that will help Mother Earth. That will help balance the energy for her.
Yes, absolutely.
And, and
that's
it helps
a beautiful,
the balance
beautiful.
Of energy for you. And so if you're feeling sadness, you're feeling grief, you know, this is one way you can transmute that energy, because what's happening is you're all the anger and the sorrow, and you feel the pain of the trees and the birds and the fish and everything. You feel the pain of all of that, and you're internalizing it. And you might even be doing work in the dream state and in the sleep state in other dimensions and helping all these beings cross over even. And that could be why you're waking up with those pains. And so I would recommend that you just say some prayers, you know, when you're going to sleep at night, and as God and Jesus and the angels just to help guide you in your realms, in the realms, and to protect you and to guide you into helping these beings as best you can while you're in that dream state. And
thank you, Margo.
It sounds to me like you're doing a lot of work in the dream state.
I think so.
To wake up with stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as soon as you wake up, you know, you want to say, okay, I'm here. Those pains are not my pains. Those, you know, and just focus on the day-to-day tasks. Have you found the white light meditation on my YouTube channel, my white light meditation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, you
and
have.
I do,
that will help too.
Yeah, I do a lot of meditation,
mm-hmm.
Several times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that if I stay conscious long enough to pray and meditate as I'm going to sleep, it's much
mm-hmm.
improved.
Mm-hmm.
When I wake up the next morning, it's much improved. But
right.
sometimes I'm just exhausted,
mm-hmm.
And you lose consciousness and fall into sleep from a state
mm-hmm.
of distress, and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, it continues. But yes,
yeah.
I definitely travel when I'm sleeping.
Yeah, it sounds like you do. And the, you know, you really want to clear your mind and clear your energy before you enter into the sleep state. And, you know, you can do the tree meditation. Go to sleep doing that even.
Yeah,
and
I
that
love
would be
that.
A really good way to get everything balanced up. And see it as golden light coming through you. And that'll help free up a lot of that stuck energy, I think.
What a gift. Thank you, Margo.
Oh, you're welcome. So I'm so glad to meet you and have you on.
Yes,
the
me too. Thank you.
Well, we've been on the line here, on the phone with the show for an hour and 40 minutes. So I'd like to, if anyone else has anything else they'd like to say. Sandy, would you like to say something else before we close out? And random variable. Let's start with you, Sandy.
I've enjoyed this. I loved hearing Marcia. And I realize that I need to relax and meditate. And I am one of those people that seems to be the type A. I'm always doing something. I can't seem to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably better for me to do that, to take that step backwards, you know.
And, you know,
grounding is cool.
And a guided meditation is a lot easier than just trying to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a couple of meditations on my YouTube channel. I have the white light meditation. That one is the first one that my angel gave me. And it's just where you're breathing in white light, and then when you breathe out, you see darkness leaving your body. And the words are, breathe in white light, breathe out pain. Breathe in white light, breathe out sorrow.
Oh, I like that one.
It goes through the whole thing until you breathe out all of the things that are bothering you, and then you're just the light. You're the white light. And then at the end of that meditation, I have a shielding technique that you can use that'll help protect you as well. So that's the white light meditation. That's on my YouTube channel. I have a meditation playlist. So look for that.
I'll look.
And then I have the starseed meditation, and that's when my angel took me on a journey out to the edge of the universe, and you find your starseed, and
yeah.
like these big egg, and you go inside the egg and you plug into the stars and you breathe in stars.
Mm.
And
it sounds so lovely.
Oh, it's wonderful. And I have those two meditations up, and the music to the starseed meditation is channeled music that Ming Fu showed me how to do. And
that's cool.
It's called the
I never found the balance. I never found a balance. My thing was I went to work and I used to go to the gym. I guess the gym was my meditation for a really long time,
mm-hmm.
punching bags, working out, taking classes, dancing, or whatever,
yeah.
which I don't do
right.
now because I'm so I've
yeah.
had all these back surgeries.
It sounds like you're a real active person, and it's hard for you to sit still. It's hard for you to rest and just
That
just
is a
be,
problem.
You know, you're always trying to do things. And so a moving meditation is probably better for you, you know, Tai Chi and walking and stuff like that.
Oh, I loved that kind of stuff back then, Tai Chi and Kung Fu. You know what? Thorstein said something on the line. He said, we've got a native shaman here who takes groups up to the inland glacier. Maybe he'll bring his camera there. He lives in Greenland. Now, that's cool.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I didn't realize he was from Greenland. I have, well, that's
living
wonderful.
In New York.
I have a question for you, Thorstein. When I'm doing my videos, you know, I'm looking at the different greenhouse gases, and when I look at ozone and the ground level ozone, there's always green up there, and which showing like a 50 or 60 parts per million level of ground ozone over Greenland, not right on the edges, but over the main part, the end part of Greenland, and it never goes away. And normally the ground ozone level goes away when the sun goes down, because it's caused by sunlight coming through the atmosphere and interacting with pollutants. But there are not many pollutants up there in Greenland, I wouldn't think. So I'm just wondering why it's the reading is so high, and it's always there. It doesn't go away at nighttime. I was wondering if you might have an idea about that. So if you have an idea about that and can type it in, that would be great. Or if you can think about it and let me know, you can find me on Facebook or, you know, go to my website, Margo's Healing Corner, and just type me an email to contact Margo. But that's the ground ozone, so I don't know why it's always there. So, that was my thought. Maybe he's busy typing. We'll wait for his response. Did you have anything else you wanted to say, Sandy?
Oh, am I still on here? No, I just enjoyed myself typing away and being chatty and being with different people and hearing voices, like Random Variable's voice,
mm-hmm.
and that was nice. Robin was here. You know, I like this. You know, I like this. I'm a little isolated where I live, but I mean, I see my friends, but I'm also recovering from surgery.
Mm-hmm.
This was a great little ditty here because of the voice aspect. And Marcia, it was terrific to hear you. Doesn't Marcia have the cutest voice?
Oh, I love Marcia. Yeah.
She has such a cute voice. But that's it. I'm just very simple.
Well, thanks for being here. Now,
yeah.
Thorstein just answered, and he said Greenland inland ice is not really ground level, but 2,000 or 3,000 meters above sea level. Well, you know, I don't know that would make it why the ozone would be over it, though. So, because normally there's not any ozone up there in the north. I mean, ground level ozone. It's very low in the readings, but it just shows up anyway.
Is it traveling?
No, it just sits there. It moves
just
around
there
a little bit, but it's right there. On
I wonder when it
yeah.
started to be up there. I wonder when
I don't
it started.
Know. I have no clue. I have no clue. I mean, it's just an observation since I've started doing this. Okay, Random Variable, would you like to say anything in closing?
I find my mute button, there it is. No, I mean, yeah. I'd just like to thank everyone for, you know, Margo especially, all the work that you do in getting the information out and presenting it, going through those websites, which I don't do. So it's good to get the data there. Sandy's channel and everyone who really puts out this information. As far as personal thoughts, I hope that people get in touch with their spiritual side.
Absolutely.
You know, now's the time to give it a chance, if you're going to give it a chance.
Right.
I can't imagine going into this without having some type of hope for a better world. I mean, if this is like Antonio said, he's 24. He's never seen anything but the U.S. having boots on the ground in the Middle East in constant conflict. I mean, that's crazy. I pray for everyone and blessings to everyone.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you so much for being here today and sharing your voice with us. And I'd like to thank everyone in the chat room. Is there anyone in the chat room who has any last-minute things they want to say before we sign off here? I think we've covered a lot of ground. This is our introduction show, and so the next show we can talk about, you know, what's going on since the first show and, you know, see how things are transpiring with us. Well, thank you, Random Variable. He typed in looking forward to the next show. Thanks, Margo. And Sandy says, cool, Margo. Thank you so much. And anyway, I'm so pleased with the turnout today and the energy created here and the friendships that we're making and the support that we're giving each other. And so I just encourage each other just to, you know, be open to the experience of whatever it is. And because this is going to be a ride. This is just going to be a ride, and we need a lot of wisdom. And we've got to keep our heads together. We can't lose our shit, basically, because, you know, the ones of us who are out here and have knowledge about what's going on, when things start falling apart, people are going to be looking to us. And so, you know, it's going to be up to us as to how things go with the people in our direct vicinity. So, you know, we need to stay calm, we need to stay focused, and just, you know, go within and ask for inner guidance and inner strength and inner wisdom and discernment. So, until next time, my name's Margo. My website is margoshealingcorner.com. The show will be archived here on the TalkShoe page where you came in, and it will also be archived on my YouTube channel. I will make it into a video and put it up, and I'll also put an audio podcast of it on my website. So until next time, God bless everyone. Go in peace. Thank you so much for coming. I love you all. God bless you, and goodbye. And everyone can say goodbye if they want.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, Marsha.
Bye, Marsha. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye,
Torsten. Bye. Bye, everyone. Thank you. Thanks for coming.